Toy the Rav Shlita, Kasha the Rabbanim, Kasha the Mishtakfim, ladies and gentlemen. It's once again a Gavali Yisus to stand up here and to be part of this Moridik and Moridik Akinus, the celebration of Kavod HaTorah. It's Moridik and Moridik gathering. There's a Gemara in the Sefer Zvah Metzir, Nachman Tessam and Beis, that speaks about a machloikis between Rabbi Eliezer and the Chachamim. There was a very heated argument between Rabbi Eliezer and the Chachamim in Hilchos Tumah v'Tahara. Rabbi Eliezer, he said, if the halakha is like me, Chorav Yechiach, the buxer tree should uproot itself and prove the halakha is like me, the Chachamim would have nothing of it. The buxer tree is not going to prove anything. Amas Hamayim Yechiach, let the water change course and show the halakha is like me. Again, the Chachamim would have nothing of it. Kaisle Beis HaMedrash Yechichu, let the walls of the Beis Medrash start tumbling down and prove the halakha is like me. Walls cannot prove anything. So finally, he said, "Min Hashemayim Yechichu, Min Hashemayim, let them prove the halakha is like me." And a Basko came out in Hashemayim and said, "Hanach Leila Rav Elozer, Ki Halakha Kamoitzei B'chol Mokom." Rabbi Yeshua got up and said, "Ein Mashgichim B'Basko. The Basko is not going to prove anything to us. Tell you like Hashemayim." The Gemara tells us, Rav Nosson, one of the Tanoim, met Eliyahu HaNavi at that time. And he asked, what's HaKadosh Baruch Hu doing at that moment? What was he doing? He said, HaKadosh Baruch Hu kamachayek, HaKadosh Baruch Hu was smiling. HaKadosh Baruch Hu was saying, Nitzchuni bonai nitzchuni, my sons have conquered over me. Despite the fact that they saw Nisim Guluyim, to change their perspective, to change their opinion, they stick to their guns. Achri Rab Mahatis, the halakha is like the rabbin, when we go against Rabbi Eliezer, and that's the way it's going to be. Not in the spoil from the walls, not in the spoil from the buxer tree, not in the spoil from a basko. HaKadosh Baruch Hu Mechayek. I can't claim to have access to Eliyahu HaNavi. And if I told you that I did, you wouldn't believe me anyway. But I venture to say that in a moment like this, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is smiling. He has a tremendous nachas ruach. Gathering of people, poshet to celebrate. Kavod HaTorah, this is a microcosm of the world in perfection. Beinonim l'chaveri and beinonim l'malkim in one. Beinonim l'malkim, people that are tzomei l'dvar Hashem, and at the end of a full day of work, they come tired, worn down, and b'derech hateva, they should sit down on their recliner and enjoy a nice, relaxing book. And instead, they come to the Beis Medrash to heart of it. Beinonim l'chaveri, people learning together, being Isaac and HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Torah, Vad Bevad, that's mamish the world in perfection. And it's something that we have to give a gevaldik yashikayach to the miyastim and those that run this moisid and make it happen. A moridik yashikayach and the schus hatzibur is with them. They should be zoichet habichus yomim and vaitis yata d'shmayim. Looking around the room, judging by the age of the hamoinam, I don't think most of you remember the tremendous Six-Day War in 1967, the lightning victory. Most of you don't remember it. I was just past my bar mitzvah without giving away my age, Lagamri. I was just past bar mitzvah. I was a very impressionable kid. And I remember it much like yesterday. The matzah before the war was very grim. The news that they were saying, Gamal Abdel Nasi and Ashamay Bezichroi was threatening to destroy Eretz Yisrael, to throw the Jews into the sea when perhaps it was his ancestor Parai. And it was a very grim, grim matzah. And then all of a sudden, June 5th, 1967, the Israelis attack first, Moridik victory. The Air Force wipes out all the Arab planes, mamish, within a couple of hours. The rest from there, they marched to the Sinai, they marched to Gaza, and they took Yerushalayim, they took Hebron, and we have the Moris HaMachpelah, Kever Rachel, and the Mamish, the apex, is taking the Kaisel. Mamish felt like Nei Mashiach. There was a simcha in the air, it was palpable, you couldn't be massive what the simcha was in the air, and a very emotional time. Even by the Goyim, it's hard to believe today, world opinion is so much stacked against the state of Israel. But at that time, to the world, for that short period of time, it was maybe there was a feeling of euphoria that you can't imagine today. There was also, on the other hand, there was a feeling of gaiva, the kaifi baitzim yodi. It was that feeling as well. So at that time, one of the from Israeli soldiers called upon Rashabsi Yudalevich, the famous Maggid Yerushalayim. Perhaps he can address some soldiers and give them Dibre Chizuk and this matzah. Look at Chili, he pushed it off. He's not interested in talking to Israeli soldiers. He asked, what kind of a shprach does he have with them? But they persisted and they persisted and they persisted, and finally he was masking. On the way to the place where he was supposed to speak, he's thinking to himself, maybe there'll be, what, 20, 30 soldiers there. It turned out there were 2,000-3,000 soldiers there. He walks into a massive auditorium. He's shocked out of his wits. He says his feet were not shaking under him. He wanted to turn back, but it was too late. They sit him up front, and he's listening to the speaker, who was a general, who was speaking to the troops and telling them certain things. And with a half ear, he's listening, but he's busy thinking about what he's going to say. And then this officer finishes off his speech the following. He turns to Shopsy, and he says the following. Everybody knows that the Air Force, they donated a tremendous amount of Mesiris Nefesh on what they did in wiping out the Arab Air Force. Everybody knows what the infantrymen did, how they courageously marched into Sinai and they conquered valuable land. Everybody knows what the battalion of engineers did, how they were Mesiris Nefesh, what they contributed. At Kitzer, we had superiority on air, on sea, and on the ground. And now we have, he turns to Rashavsi, and he says, now we have a rabbi from Yerushalayim, maybe he's from Yeshiva, I don't know, and he will tell us exactly what contribution the Yeshiva Bachrim, now we're in the Beis Medrash the whole time, what contribution did they give to the war? He said it with such a cynicism. Rashavsi was stirring inside when he walked up calmly. Choshuva soldiers, he says. Dear soldiers, I want to tell you something. Before the war, the way the Israeli hierarchy of the army, of the armed forces was predicting, the matzah was very grim. They were talking about, Rachmona Litzlan, 60,000 deaths. And they were designating the main gardens on the outskirts of Yerushalayim and Tel Aviv and other cities. Those would be temporary burial grounds. What happened? And who would be the Chevra Kedisha that would bury these soldiers? Yeshiva Bachrim. They would be the Chevra Kedisha. They would be mishtatef in burying them. What happened at the end? Men HaShamayim, they had Rachmanis. They didn't want there to be Bittul Torah. They didn't want there to be Tzar. B'schus, the Torah of the Yeshiva Bachrim. There's no 60,000 people dead. Baruch Hashem, you're all alive. Baruch Hashem, the gardens of Yerushalayim and Tel Aviv and all the other cities are free, and you're able to enjoy the greenery over there. You'd rather be in the grave than have the Yeshiva Bachrim sitting and learning and saving you all of this trouble? Nay, so give thanks to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and give thanks to the Yeshiva Bachrim. They are the ones that saved me. And then he went on to say, Pasuk in this week's parasha, Hashem ish melchama, Hashem Shemai. So Rashi, Hashem Shemai, he's an ish melchama, but he does not fight with weaponry. He fights with the name of Hashem. He fights with the Yonei Kedusha. The Yeshiva Bachrim, they are the ones that are utilizing that Kedusha by sitting and learning a whole day. And they're the ones that saved all these lives. He got such a round of applause. Mamish and Chayat, a rousing round of applause, much to the chagrin of the speaker that was there right before him. Was it Kufa that the word Yeshiva Bachrim was reserved only for those that sit and learn a whole day? And Baruch Hashem, it still is, those that sit and learn a whole day, they are the mamish, the crown of Klal Yisrael. But that word Yeshiva Bachrim over the years has expanded and includes a lot more people. And what we have over here is an organization of Yeshiva Bachrim. At the end of the day, they come and they sit and learn. These are Yeshiva Bachrim. And someone whose high point of the day is to sit and learn after a day where they become tired with their panosa during the day and their meiser nefesh. And I see people coming to shiurim at night, their mamish loisim and butchim. And they come in their regular clothing from during the day with their work clothing. And they come straight to a shiur. And sometimes they have to fight sleep. But that in and of itself is so chodah by HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So I don't have access to Eliyahu HaNavi. But I can tell you, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is smiling. He's smiling tonight at this penis of Kavod HaTorah. He smiles every night when those that sit alone with their harusas or the chaburas or whatever shir they're in, it causes HaKadosh Baruch Hu to smile. Hagoyim Rishmul Vos, when the Gevaldi Gepaisik in Eretz Yisrael, they tzadik levracha, said over a murder the Gemaisa. It was before World War II, and an elderly Jew came over to him. He said, Rebbe, I want you to do me a favor. I know I'm not going to make it through the war. I know I can see it, Lefid HaMatzer, but I know that you will make it through the war. I have with me documents of bank accounts in Switzerland. Please, if you make it through the war, look for my children and find them. Right now, they're not they're not with me for me to give it over to them. See if you could find them, told him his name and everything, and give it over to them. Please, I beg you. Shmuel tried to convince him, man, you have to have it. He's talking to Hashem, he says, Rebbe, please do me this favor. And sure enough, he did him this favor. He held on to the stars throughout the war. After the war for Kufa, he was in New York. One time he's riding on a train on a random day, and a yid comes onto the train and sits himself down next to him. Shalom aleichem, aleichem shalom. It's machta yid, it's a hasta yid, what's your name? My name is so and so. And he starts complaining to me, says, I have no panos, I came here, I'm a poet from the war, I have no panos, I tried being a rebbe, and it's not going well. And, you know. So wait a minute, he said, your name is so and so, where do you come from? Where do you hail from? I come from this and this town. He says, what was your father's name? Tells him his father's name. And he asks for a different identification. It turns out that this yid that gave him over these documents for the banks in Switzerland turned out that this was this guy's father and he was really a rich man. So he says, I have some good news for you. You're a rich man. He says, what are you talking about? He says, yes, I have, you know, accounts from your father in Switzerland. He says, I'm not going to get there. I'm not going to get anything. He says, I'll get you there. Don't worry about it. But you're a rich man. So Rishul used to tell over this story. He used to ask the crowd, tell me, before this yid found out whether he was rich, that he had these accounts in Switzerland, was he rich or was he poor? Most people say he was really rich, but he wasn't aware of it. Rishul says, no, he was a poor man. A person that has riches and doesn't realize that he possesses those riches, for all practical purposes, he's a poor man. He can't do anything with the riches if he doesn't realize he has them. For this, Chazal tell us, Chavivim Yisrael Shenidnu Lahem Klechemda. Klal Yisrael is dear. They're cherished. They were given Klechemda. They were given cherished vessels. Chiva Yisera Neidas Lahem. Extra Chiva was given over. It was given over. It was told to them. Hashem told them the favors. I am giving you this treasure. Realize that you are rich. You're wealthy. As it says, we have to realize the cherished vessels that we have. We have to realize how rich we are. We have to realize how, number one, it brings us close to Hashem, how it clothes us in Kiddush, and how it protects Klal Yisrael. It's a meridike vessel. Throughout Bayesheni, there were Muhammad's over the Kahuna Gedailer. Machloek is between two brothers that hailed from the family of the Chashmenoim, Hyrcanus and Aristobulus, tremendous civil war over the Kahuna Gedailer. Chazal tell us that throughout World War II, there were hundreds of Kahanim Gedailer that tried going to the Kodesh HaKadoshim. Every year another one went to the Kodesh HaKadoshim, and every year they had to schlep them out dead. There was a tremendous taiva to go into that Kodesh HaKadoshim to be mehana to the Zivah Shchina. We can't be massive what a hanoah that is. And people knew that there's a possibility they're not going to make it out alive. And they went in anyway. They came out dead. But the Torah tells us, Yikara hi mipninim. The Torah is more precious than pearls. Darshan the Gemara set the Seika. Davdalan on the days. Yikara hi mikain godol hanifmis lefnai vilifnim. That tremendous power that they wanted to have, that they fought over, that they were luchamis over. A yid sits down by a gemara, a yid sits down by a shir, a yid sits down with his kavrusa. He's entering the Kodesh HaKadoshim. This is the word of Hashem. And he has a way of coming close to Hashem, Yikarim from the Kohen Gadol, that went in Lufnai V'Lufnim. Every single person, makes no difference what his age is, makes no difference what his background is, makes no difference how much he's learned before. Everybody is capable of conquering mountains. Yetzer Hashem, this coming week, we're going to be learning Parshas Yisroi, Kabbalas HaTayr. The Gemara says in the Sefer Shabbos, HaPeches, B'shoa Shehigdilu Yisroel Nasa L'nishma, Yotzes Obasta V'omra, Migilo Levona Isod V'roz Zeh Shemalachi Ashoros Mishnam Shemay. Who revealed to my children this tremendous secret of the Malachi Ashoros? Why is it such a secret, and why is it so special with the Malachi Ashoros? If you ask somebody, can you do me a favor? First thing he'll ask you is, well, it depends what it is, I'll see if I can do it. No, I want you to do me a favor. Before I tell you, I want you to be mechayev yourself to do me this favor. I don't know if I can. But a malach, no matter what HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells him to do, even in advance, a malach can do it. A malach has no hindrances. A malach has no ikuvim. A malach can do everything possible. The Bnei Yisrael were human beings. How were they able to say Nasa before Nishma? They had no idea what the Torah entails. They had no idea what the Chiyuvim were going to be. And they acted like Malachim. They said Nasa before they even heard what it is. So the Shem Yishmuel asked a question, but that was foolhardy. How are they able to do that? If you don't know what it is, why in the world did you think you'll be able to accept the Torah before knowing what it is? Shem Yishmuel says, I'm already the Gibshad. The secret of the Malachim is they know if HaKadosh Baruch, Malach means a Shliach. If HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave me a Shlichus, he's going to give me the Torah to be Mekayim that Shlichus as well. HaKadosh Baruch Hu would not send me on a Shlichus if it's impossible if I don't have those Kaifas. Klal Yisrael, they knew the secret of the Malachim. If Hashem wants us to be Mekabel the Torah, if Hashem wants us to do the mitzvahs, even before he even tells me what it is, he's making a Shluchim and an Avaida, he is going to give us the Kaifas to be able to do it. This is why Chazal said, Loi b'shamayimi. Torah is not in Shemayim. And Rashi says, and if it would be in Shemayim, you'd have to go up there and bring it down. How's that possible? So in theory, the Torah is. If it would be up there, and that would be our purpose, Hashem would give us the kaychus to go up to Shemayim to be able to bring it down. Everyone has the ability, makes no difference the background or age. If a person is mechayiv himself, he wants to learn the kaychus. He wants to master a mesefta. He wants to master a certain miktsaya. If he puts the effort to it, there's no telling how much he could be mekayim. A few years ago, I was in Cleveland for one of my children's chasanas. On a Sunday morning, I got into a certain minyan there. There was a daf yomi shir going on right after that. So somebody tells me, look at the guy sitting in the back. The fellow sitting in the back with longish hair. He looked like a modern fellow. He barely looked from. That fellow is now on the second cycle of Daf Yomi. It's an incredible story. The fellow was not from. He was at a Cleveland Indians baseball game. One son, I don't know what day of the week it was, he was at a Cleveland Indians baseball game. But there were a few Frumians sitting right next to him. And they were tumbling that tonight is the Siyum of Daf Yomi, and they're going to see a hookup. They want to see what it's going to be like. And they're tumbling, they're excited about it. And he's listening in. And he asks him, what is this all about? And they tell him that this Shas is Talmud Bavli, it's a 7.5-year cycle, and they're finishing tonight, and they're making the whole thing in New York. We want to see it on the hookup. So where can I see it? He got it. He went to see it, and he got so hepped up. He's not full. He got so hepped up. He started learning that feeling. When they finished the Sefer Shabbos, he decided he's becoming a Shomer Shabbos. He had to walk to shul about 5-6 miles in each direction. But out of nowhere, he's mechayim himself to do Daf Yomi, became a Shomer Shabbos, became a totally frumi yid, moved into the frumi neighborhood, he's part of the Jewish community. By now already, it must be the third time around Daf Yomi. There is no limit to what a person can do. HaKadosh Baruch Hu sent us on a shlichus, and he gives us the taifas to do it. The ikar is that we have to be able to be mekabel on ourselves to do it. What does it mean for our children? It means a tremendous amount. Last week's parsha, in Parsha's Bo, the pasuk says, Laman tisaper v'ozni bincha. Ben bincha es asher esalalti b'mitzrayim. Ponim v'shirov asks, why does the Torah have to say, Laman tisaper v'ozni bincha? Laman tisaper l'bincha. Says, we got into l'bincha. What's v'ozni bincha? Says, a beautiful pshat. Normally, when you speak to someone and the room is empty, there's no sounds in the room, he could be at the other end of the room, he could hear you. But when there's a lot of noise going on in the room, you have to speak close up into his ear, because otherwise he's not going to be able to hear you. In Mitzrayim, there were many foreign voices. Voices of Avodah Zarah, voices of Taiva, voices of Kishuv, voices of Kvira. There were many foreign voices in the ear. And when you're in such a matzah, the Torah tells us, Laman tisaper ba'ozni bincha, you have to speak directly into his ear. You have to speak in a way that he's going to hear. If you speak without that hiskarvus, if you speak without that warmth, he's not going to be able to hear it. We're living today in a dolus America, which Baruch Hashem, it's a gewaltige country. It's a wonderful country of freedom where we can serve on Kadosh Baruch Hu. Never before has Klal Yisrael enjoyed such freedoms in serving Hashem. But there's a foreign culture here. It's in a way Mitzrayim. There's all kinds of other disorders and timeless and yetzaharas with modern technology. It's not revelation. In order to get through to our children, it has to be ozni bincha. It has to be with a warmth. How do you do that? As I saw a beautiful story. Shushan Pinkus brings down one of his svarim. It was a young couple in Eretz Yisrael. They had their first son. The first son was always going to be the Bel Adar. You know, before reality hits, you know, but they're going to be mechanical to be the Godel Hadar. This is going to be the one. So when he finally reaches the age of talking, he stops. That's I'll say. Torah, Tziva, Torah. Ulanu, it's not going. They tried again and again and again and again. But it's not going. Okay, the parents have been disappointed. And fine, they'll wait till he gets a little bit older. They try it again, it's not gone. All the attempts, and you can't get tired, it's even more emotion. One day, the mother is walking with her child in the street, and they pass a fellow selling watermelons. He's calling out, Avatichim, Tadiyim, Edomiyim, you know, he's screaming, Mamish Brahmin, over and over again, Avatichim, Tadiyim. And all of a sudden, the kid starts imitating him, Avatichim, Tadiyim, Edomiyim. Mother was heartbroken. Here we're trying to teach him Torah Tziva Lono Moshe. We hazard it with him over and over again, and he can't get it. And for 2 seconds, he hears this watermelon salesman. He hears him and picks it up like that. There's something wrong. Her husband comes back from Kailo that night, and she tells him the mice, and he's a bracha on his face. He goes to his Rav, his Mori Derech, and he says, I'm scared that my child, there's something wrong with his neshama. It must be after something wrong with his neshama. The Torah Tziva Lono Moshe, he's not able to pick up. He walked by the watermelon guy and he's able to mamish repeat it as a. So the Rav told him, just calm down. He said, your child, don't worry. Hail the Yiddish neshama. But this fellow, when he was selling the watermelons, he's screaming for his life. He's got to put bread on the table. And this, you know, this is his life. He's got to feed his wife. He's got to feed his family. This food on the table, he's screaming for all he's worth. And he puts his whole heart and soul into it. If you do the same thing, putting your whole heart and soul into it, then your child will hear that language as well. That's, well, ozne bincha, make sure it penetrates the ears of your child. You do it with a friend. You do it with an ahava. Perhaps the best way to have lessons penetrate to the children is when children see how choshev the Torah is to their parents. How at the end of the day, the father comes home from work and he goes straight to the Beis Medrash and he learns even though he's tired. And how the mother in the household, she gives him that chizuk and she shares in that enthusiasm. And this is what they want. This is our life. A lot of times the best message that goes into the ear is via osmosis. You don't have to say it openly. If they see that this is the simchas achayim in the mishpacha for the father and for the mother, this is the best message to give ba'ozni bincha, where all of those foreign sounds are traveling throughout the country. This is the simcha in the family, the Torah that the father learns and the mother so happily supports him with. I want to close off with a yeshayla that's asked in this week's parasha. That is that we know that in the midbar the Yidden had everything. Yidden had man, They had the Bereshit Miriam. Their clothing grew on top of them. They had everything. They opened each. So the question is asked, so how do they makayim the mitzvah of the chesed in the Midbar? What tzedakah? There was no tzedakah. They had everything they needed. So Yaakov Galinsky said a very cute teretz. He said, you know, we know that Chazal say that the mon tasted like anything he wanted it to taste like. Somebody wanted it to taste like a thick steak, it tasted like steak. Someone wanted it to taste like ice cream, it tasted like ice cream. Another wanted it to taste like sushi, it tasted like sushi. But a poor person that didn't have hasagas, previously he was poor. What did he know? A dry piece of bread with a glass of water. So his whole hasaga in Achila was a dry piece of bread and a glass of water. So the rich fellow would go over to him and come, listen, why should you think of a dry piece of bread and a glass of water? There's much greater things you can think about. You know, a thin, juicy steak, a piece of meat, that mouth is squeezing out, it's delicious. Think about that, and you'll have that. Hasagas, if the teacher hasagas, ideas of, you know, there's better things in life than a piece of bread and water. That was the chesed that the rich person did with the poor person. Dr. Yaakov Galinsky, if in Gashmias there's a chesed of giving people bigger hasagas that they should have a better taste, kal v'chaymer ben benoisho kal v'chaymer. When you give people ideals, you give them aspirations that are higher than what they're accustomed to shteig, to spend their time learning, to cover mesechtes, to cover bloodshed, to cover prokim, to cover mitzayos. This is what the Night Seder Beis Medrash is doing. They're organizing Torah, chavrusashas, shiurim, and all kinds of mitzayos, and they're giving people hasagas. I could do it. Nothing is impossible. If I am a shliach of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he gives me the koyach to be able to fulfill the shlichus. Once again, a tremendous yasha koyach to the miyazdim, the yirotzim. May we all be zeichet that discuss the Torah. We all be protected. We all have koyachus and we should be zeichet. We'll be as Gael Tzedek, the Herod Yomeinu. Amen.